part three, and we've been just exploring what heaven is going to be like. And we're using some material, or I am, by Dr. David Jeremiah in his book, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. And he has a statement in there from his book. It's in your notes, and I'd like for you to read it with me. Hopefully, you each have your sermon listening guide. Let's read it. Everything that is near and dear to you and me, everything that is important to Christ's followers is in heaven. Everything. This one simple statement says this: everything that really matters in life is going to be in heaven. And he says, you know, there's a lot of things we think are important, but at the end of the day, there's some things that are more important than others. And he says, that's the prize of life. And so we're going to talk about that today. The title of the message is The Preciousness of Heaven. I want to talk about six things today of what we're going to find in heaven that will make it so special. This is kind of a teaching lesson, as was last week. And I want to go back to last week, just do a little summary, a recap. We said that there are three different kinds of heaven. Now, in the lower left is the earth. That's where we live. The first heaven, the clouds, are about 8 miles up. It's the air we breathe. Snow and rain come down from the heavens. It's known as the first heaven. It sustains us for life. The second heaven is the blue area. And in Genesis chapter 1, it says, God made heaven and earth, and he began to create the sky, the firmament. And in this second heaven, there are billions, billions of stars. We are a part of the Milky Way galaxy, and they say they could be thousands or millions of galaxies in the second heaven. We cannot comprehend in our minds how far this expanse really is. But that is the second heaven. The third heaven is where Paul says he was caught up to. He had some kind of a spiritual experience, and he went to the third heaven. Now, people who die, and they say they have an out-of-body experience, they come back, live to tell about it, they often talk about going to heaven. Well, where they're going to is the third heaven. It's where God is. It's where the throne is. It's where God exists. And it is in this place, the third heaven, we want to talk about today. There's a special place being prepared for you and me in the third heaven. Here's another picture, artist rendition. You know, it says that the holy city, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. That is huge. And this holy city will somehow house or be a place that will be a key part of heaven. Streets of gold. I mean, the place is amazing when you look at all the creative parts of the type of stone, and Revelations talks about that. It's the sea of glass, and it's just an amazing place. But it's in this place that God wants each person to arrive at safely when this life is over. And so what I want to do today is talk about the preciousness of heaven, and we'll give you six thoughts of why it's so special, all right? Number one, in your notes. The first thing that makes it so special is this: our Redeemer is in heaven. None other than Jesus himself. Read with me Hebrews 9:24 in your notes. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but in heaven itself, now appear in the presence of God for us. The reason we will go to heaven is because of what Jesus, the Son of God, became flesh. It's called Christmas. He died on the cross, Good Friday, rose again the third day, Easter, and he's alive forevermore. He paid the price for our sins. And when you and I trust in his word and have a saving relationship with him, he says, we will go to a place called heaven. This past weekend, there was a group called the Lumineers that were in Saratoga Springs. And I'd never heard of the group, wasn't familiar with it, but a lot of people went to it. And they said there were 22,000 people that went to the concert. It was an outdoor concert. 22,000 people. Because the Lumineers just got, they have followers. You see, when we get to heaven, Jesus will be center stage. He will be the reason we are there. And we need to give him that honor because of him, we will get there. And he wants us there. Here's a quote. Jesus Christ opened heaven's door for us by his death on the cross, period. He wants as many people as possible to make sure they get to the third heaven when this life is over, because he died for that. The provision has already been made. So number one, the preciousness of heaven is because our Savior, Jesus himself, who will be the glory, the light, the electricity that lights up heaven, it'll be because of him. Number two, the second key thing of why heaven is so special or precious is our relationships are in heaven. Read with me Revelation 5, verses 9 through 10 in your notes. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and the people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom, and they will reign on earth. Here's the beauty of the death of the cross. He has purchased men and women from different tribes around the earth. People that are different ethnicities, they speak a different language, their skin is a different color. He has redeemed mankind. And heaven will be about relationships that we have with other people who are a part of God's family. I want to stretch your thinking. Maybe you've never thought about this. When you get to heaven, wouldn't it be cool to spend about 10 minutes talking to Moses? This is relationship stuff. Hey, Moses, could you tell us, what was it like when you led the people out of Egypt? What was it like when all those, the food, the quails were provided to feed a couple million people? I mean, just have a conversation with him. How about Queen Esther? She is the woman that was raised up, and she had the king's ear, and she risked her life to go before the king, and she basically delivered her people from being slaughtered. Queen Esther, what was it like during that pretty intense 3 or 4 days when you knew your life was on the line? What did you go through? How about this one, John Wesley? John Wesley is the father of Methodism. He and his brother brought about revivals in England years ago. And John, what was it like just to see the power of God move upon so many people's lives? Or how about this one? Susanna Wesley, his mom. She had about like 19 children, and I think 3 died at birth. How did you do that? How did you raise that many kids? How did you pray for your kids through the years and have a conversation with Susanna Wesley? Here's another one. How about Noah? Noah, what was it like to hear the voice of God say, build a boat, but it had never rained? And it was an act of faith. He just thought God believed God wanted him to do that. And he ended up saving just a few of his family, and God started over. Noah, what was that like? You see, we will have relationships and opportunity to talk to a whole bunch of people. I love Jack put this quote up. thinking of you and counting the days until we meet again. As you know, my mother passed away in 2016, and she was a believer. On Sunday nights in years past, we would Skype, and we'd talk over the computer, and at the end, she would pray one Sunday, I would pray another. So we had this ongoing exchange of just a pretty neat connection with Mom. When she died, you know, you got to work through that, a parent's a parent, and but this is one thing I knew. It would only be a matter of time till I would see her again. Each day is a day closer. You have loved ones in your family who have been in faith in Christ and they've passed on before. It's only a matter of time. Count the days and we will be reunited. You see, relationships are key in heaven. Our Redeemer made it possible, but our relationships with the family of God worldwide, that'll take a time to connect with everybody, won't it? Relationships are at the heart of who God is. All right, number three. The third thing about what makes heaven precious is this. Our residence is in heaven. Read with me the first two verses in your notes. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. For we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. I did a little research. And the United States has 188 ambassadors. Here's what an ambassador does. Usually lives in another country, but represents the United States. We are living in another country. It's called this world. And our citizenship is in heaven. When you put your faith in Christ, you became a citizen of heaven, and it just so happens you're passing through this life. We think it's the other way around. We think this life is a long time. Sometimes it seems like that. But in reality, we are anchored to heaven, and we're just passing through this earthly journey. In John chapter 14, Jesus said this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." I wanted to stop right there. You and I have to believe that there's a place in the third heaven being prepared for us because Jesus said it was so. He says, "I'm going there to prepare a mansion." Here's a quote. Maybe a little hard to read. Let me read it to you. Christians have a dual citizenship on earth and in heaven. Okay, we live in the United States, Walton, New York. And our citizenship in heaven ought to make us better people here on earth. Here's the thought. When you and I really believe we're going to go there, we want to live a life as an ambassador while on earth that represents our citizenship in heaven. It kind of makes us more vigilant. It gives us more awareness that, hey, my every day needs to count. You know why? I'm an ambassador representing this place called heaven, and that's my future home. That's my anchor to this life. I'm planning to go there, and I want to represent it well. So number one, we have a Redeemer who opened the door for all of us. Number two, our relationships are in heaven. Number three, our residence is in heaven. Number four, the fourth thing is this, our reward is in heaven. Read with me verse 27 in your notes. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and with his angels. And then he will reward each according to his works. Did you know that when you get to the third heaven, where the Lamb is, the Redeemer, where Jesus is, where God the Father is, the Holy Spirit, all these other people, and including angelic beings, when we get there, he's got a reward for you. And the reward is for how we lived our life on earth. Now, Dr. Jeremiah on page 120 of his book says this. He quotes Bruce Wilkinson. He says, our eternal destination is the consequence of what we believe on earth. Our eternal compensation is the consequence of how we behave on earth. Now, here's what it means. Our faith gets us to heaven when we trust in Christ's death and the forgiveness of sins. We anchor to our citizenship, our residence in a place called heaven. When we get there, God will then reward people for how they lived their life. Now, here's a quote, or it's from the book of Romans. I want to have Jack put it up and explain this. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, understand in the book of Revelation, there are different kinds of judgment. That's a real heavy word. There's the great white throne judgment. You know who that's for? That's for the unbeliever. It's for the people that do not receive the gift. And God brings them up in a place of judgment, and they will inherit a place according to their deeds. It won't be heaven, and there'll be a great separation into hell itself. They will be rewarded for what they did in their life in the bad way. On the other hand, the believer's judgment, which is something totally different, is this. It's when you and I will appear before God to give an account of our life. And he'll say, what did you do with it? Now, the thing that's somewhat scary is the word judgment, but I want to walk you through something. When Jesus died on the cross, he judged sin. When we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, if we're a believer, it will not be for sin. Why? It's already been dealt with at the cross. We trust in that. The Bible says there's no condemnation to people who are in Christ. No condemnation. So when you and I appear before the judgment seat, we will not have a condemnation hearing. Why? The sin has already been covered by the cross. But what will be examined is how we lived our life. How did we make it count? Have we, you know, how have we grown to more Christ-likeness? And is it wheat or chaff? Is it my motive of doing ministry? And so God will sift through that, but there will not be condemnation. That's already been covered through the death of Christ. But we will have our works examined and will be rewarded accordingly. Our reward is in heaven, and we'll appear before God, and he'll say, how did you make your life count? Number five. The fifth thing about heaven is this. Our riches are in heaven. Our riches. Read with me verses 19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to talk about your riches. I read that the Sultan of Brunei, one of the wealthiest individuals in the world, has a car collection. And he's got a collection of 7,000 cars. 7,000. How do you keep track of that many cars? The collection is worth $5 billion. That's with a B. $5 billion. And Jesus is saying, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where things will rust and the moth will destroy it. That car collection is going to fade at some point. Every car will rust over time. Here's what Jesus says. Send it on ahead. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. In other words, here's what it's saying. The money that goes through your checkbook, your account, make sure you use it, part of it, for his kingdom. You know what's really going to count when you build your riches in heaven? You know, the tithe. Do you tithe to the church? Do you give to help other people, missionaries? Do you help your neighbor? Have you paid for somebody's meal? Have you paid a doctor bill? Your time, how do you use your life? And the way you build up a richness in heaven is when you send it on ahead. We have to be wise. We have to care for our own needs and be responsible. But listen, if you want to be rich in the life ahead in the third heaven, if you want to send it on ahead, be a steward of your time, your talent, and your riches, and just use it to help other people. That is what will build up your wealth in heaven itself. Here's a statement in verse 24 by Dr. Jeremiah, or chapter, page 24 in his book. The only things going from earth to heaven are human souls and the Word of God. So if you're trying to build equity in heaven, invest your time, your talents, and your treasure in the Word of God and the souls of men and women who need to hear the message of Christ. You know, a lot of talk on the news about investing in the 401(3)(b) and making sure you have enough money, and the stock market's not doing well. And I mean, this is American culture. It's like you got to take care of yourself, and you do. But listen, there's a bigger picture issue at stake. And he says, if you want to build equity in heaven, you help other people get there. Because then your reward will be the other people that made it, and God will bless you because you use some of your resources, your time, your talent, and your treasure to help other people do it. Here's a quote. The way you store up treasure in heaven is by investing in getting people there. Leverage everything you have in your life to help other people get there. You know why? That's what counts at the end of life. Here's another picture. He who lays up treasures in heaven looks forward to eternity. If you want to create a life that really counts in the kingdom of God, leverage everything you have to help people get to heaven. And we will enjoy that preciousness when we get there. Number six, the last thing is this. The sixth thing that makes heaven so special is this. Our reservation is in heaven. Read with me the couple of verses in your notes. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The disciples came back and said, wow, this is pretty cool. Even the demons are submitting to the authority of your name. I mean, that would be a pretty amazing experience. And here's what Jesus said back. Don't rejoice over that. Rather, rejoice that your name is written down in heaven. Here's what he's saying. You have a reservation there. Your name is confirmed. He says, you want to celebrate something, celebrate that. And let's read verse 27 in your notes as well. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. I want to close with the story about a lady by the name of Ruth Anna Metzger. And she is a professional singer. She's from the West Coast. And she was asked to sing at a wedding in Seattle. It was a very upscale wedding. One of the wealthiest families in the city. And it was held at the top two floors, the reception was, at the Columbia Center. And so Ruth Annis sang at the wedding, did an amazing job, I'm sure. But then they went to the reception, she and her husband. They got to this building, the Columbia Center, took the elevator up, top two floors, upscale deal. And there was a maitre d' standing there. And they had a book. And Ruth Ann goes up to him and says, hi, we're here for the reception. The maitre d' looked at the book and said, okay, what is your name? She told him, this is my husband, Roy, I'm Ruth Anna. And he looked, and he couldn't find their name in the book. She said, well, I sang at the wedding. He said, well, sorry, your name's got to be in the book or I can't let you in. She said, but wait, no, I sang. And he said, no, I can't let you in unless your name is recorded here. They eventually escorted Ruth Ann and her husband to the elevator, and they pushed the G button, which was the garage where their car was parked, and they went down. She was in tears because she was missing this upscale reception of this incredible event. And the husband says to her, what happened? And she says, well, I guess I must have got busy and I forgot to send in the RSVP. And their names were never recorded in the book, which was the final answer of who could get in to the reception. You see, the way it'll work for us is the same. When we die, when this life is over, there's a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's a registry of every person around the world throughout the ages that have ever put their trust and faith in Christ. And when you and I get there, we will have to have a confirmed reservation to get in. And if we don't have it, unfortunately, anyone who does not have it will be a part of the great white throne judgment for the unbelievers and the departure into a place of darkness and hell itself. But for those that believe, we have to anchor to the Lamb's Book of Life where our name is recorded when we put our trust and faith in Christ. So what makes heaven so precious? Number one, the Redeemer is there, Jesus himself. He's the centerpiece. Number two, relationships, family members, those who have put their faith in Christ. We will be together. Number three, our residents. There's a mansion, a place being prepared just for you in the third heaven for when this life is over. Number four, our reward. How we live our life, we'll be rewarded by God himself. It'll give him glory. Number five, our riches. Send it on ahead. Leverage your life, time, talent, and resources to make it possible for other people to come to faith in Christ. And then number six, our reservation in heaven, the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to pray, and then Pastor Jack's going to come and lead us in our communion ritual. But here's what I want to make sure, everybody here. You know that your name is in the book. Because when you know that is a confirmed reservation, you get a new confidence in life. It's a faith decision. I mean, it's when we just trust Christ and we believe his word and we ask for his forgiveness and he's in our life and we live for him and our name is written in that book so that when we die, we know. We will be able to enter the third heaven because our name is recorded in the book while on this earth. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to say a simple prayer. And if anybody here is not really sure or you wonder, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And that prayer, if you pray it in your heart, God will honor, and you can leave here with confidence that your name, maybe it's already there, or maybe it's written there for the first time today. Hey, that's awesome. You can live with confidence from this day forward. Let's bow for prayer. You can just pray this prayer after me silently. Father in heaven, Thank you that you love me. Thank you that I'm valuable to you. I confess I need you. Forgive me of all my sins. Everything I've ever done wrong. Right now by faith, I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again the third day and is alive forevermore. I open the door of my heart and I invite Jesus Christ into my life. I ask him to be my Savior. I ask him to be my Lord from this moment forward. And give me the assurance that my name has been recorded and written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And for this, I'll give you thanks. If you prayed that prayer, maybe for the first time, would you put your hand up and put it down? Okay, a lot of people. Just even recommitting. God wants each of us to have a sense of confidence that through our faith, our names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, thank you that you've made provision. We receive it. We accept it. And we believe it. And I pray you'll give each person here today and everybody listening online the amazing confidence through trust and faith that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when this life is over, we know we have a place in the third heaven in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.